God is good. Everybody get your seat. Get to your seat anyway. We don't want you getting your seat. Get to your seat. I started it. I opened up the floodgates. That's right. Y'all are doing good. Look around. If you see somebody that's not here, that's normally here, it's your responsibility to call them, not to bless them out, not to tell them anything ugly. Just tell them how great a service we had and how we missed them. Amen. Always it's just how good a service we had and how you missed them and how you want to see them again. Amen. We're here to lift up one another. We're here to build up one another. And so it is so important. God's got something so special for all of us. For all of us. We got to be here to get it. Amen. It's kind of like if they're offering vaccinations at the health clinic for the mumps, and you got the mumps and said, well, they offered it. Yeah, but did you go to the health clinic and get it? No? Well, then guess what? Amen. So it's here. It's here. So let's go ahead and thank God that it is here. Amen. God is so awesome. You know, I did hear a story about a 90-year-old grandma went on a blind date with a 95-year-old man. At the end of the night, her granddaughter said, Grandma, how was your date? She says, it was kind of aggravating. She said, really? She says, yeah. She said, I had to slap him 5 times. She said, did he get fresh? She says, no, I thought he was dead. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, let me ask you a question. I've been doing a lot of soul searching and talking to folks and reading and just getting into it. And I just wonder how close do we resemble the early church? I'm not talking about, yeah, they had mules and they had to go outside and they didn't have sound systems. They didn't have lights. That's not what I'm talking about. No. My question is, how do we resemble them? Because they showed the power of God evident in their life. Do we show the evidence in our lives that God is working with us and through us? So I happen to be studying, and I don't even know how long this is going to go. I know it's going to go at least 2 weeks because this is just the introduction. So once we get past the introduction next week, we'll go into the service. But how long has it been since you were living under the influence of God's power? That's an awesome question. How long has it been since you just let go and let God take a hold? Get your Bible out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We go in Ephesians, and we love to go in Ephesians and talk about how in Ephesians chapter 5, how the husband, the wife, and the children are supposed to be, and especially Ephesians chapter 6, we talk about the spiritual armor. But you see, if you want to really get into it, you got to go back a little further. And what God starts out with is he's telling us all these things in Ephesians, how to live. He talks about the power of the Spirit that is evident in our lives in order for our families to be better, in order for us to use the armor of God in an effective way. You got to have the Spirit with you. Amen. So this morning, living under the influence. And this is really an awesome thing. It's really kind of awesome. My wife was having her hair done, and I was sitting there with her in the shop, and I was smelling all the perm solution. And as I started smelling all the perm solution, I started writing, living under the influence. Amen. Amen. Anybody ever going to smell a bunch of perm solution? Amen. All right. Get your Bible. Stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just go ahead and look at this. So verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, go take back what the devil is stealing, because these days he's got his hand in it and he is trying to control it And if he can help it, he will control us as well as the world. So here it is. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's stop right there. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got power and anointing for each of us, Lord. You've got something for us to do, Lord. You've got a powerful, powerful message in this last day. And you have a powerful, powerful bunch of messengers. I'm looking at them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, God, to realize the power that is prevalent, the power that is available, the power that you have ready to stand for us to use. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. We give this day unto you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Get somebody a high five, low five, no five, three quarters, five, or a quarter, three and a half, and just tell them God's awesome. Amen. God is awesome. Living under the influence. You know, again, as I was reading this and as I was thinking about this, it just all came to me in such a strong, strong way. You know, how many realize that there's a battle going on? There's a battle going on. The battle is going on for your soul. The battle is going on for your children. The battle is going on for your area. The battle is going on for our church. The battle is here and the battle is hot and the battle is hard. Amen. I can't say it anymore. Can't say it any plainer. I was in the Pitt Detention Center Thursday night, and I'm going to go today and try to talk with the guy. There was a young man in there that was in lockdown. And I looked at him and I said, there's something peculiar going on here, worse than normal. And I said, you need to tell me there's something going on. I need you to talk to me. And as God would have it, I had several different outlines, and I pulled out this one special outline. Didn't even realize. I just pulled it out of the pile. And I handed it to him, and I handed him the outline, and I'm talking with him. I said, there's something going on in your life. Something has really burdened you. Can you talk to me? And he said, yes. He said, me and my wife separated some time back, I reckon a year or so ago. He said, and then in March, my 14-year-old son died. He said, 4 weeks ago, my girlfriend died. And in between that, my wife filed for divorce in the middle of all that. And I'm not judging him about his girlfriend and his wife. I'm not here to judge all that. But I'm here to tell you, there was a lot of loss in that young man's life. Just like that. Loss after loss after loss after loss. And as God would have it, one of the papers I had pulled out and give him was one of the things we did on Tuesday nights on how to deal with loss in your life. And he looked at it and he started crying. I said, see how God's looking out for you. I said, I'll be back here Sunday. You and I'll pull you to the side and we'll talk. He said, thank you so much. But then as I began to go in, and even when we went into the juvies, and some of the juvies are so belligerent. They're mouthy, and I can't believe how mouthy they are trying to make themselves look big and make themselves look bad, knowing that if they don't turn around, they can spend their life there. I talked to a 20-year-old. A 20-year-old had just been moved from the juvies and was put over with the adults. And he told me, he said, I'm going to court. And he said, it looks like I'm going to serve 35 to 40 years. And he said, I was charged when I was 17 years old. He said, sir, I think I'm going to spend my whole life in prison. He said, what do I do? So watching all this stuff just keeps wearing down, and you think about it and see all this stuff happening around us. The battle's here. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's here to tear everything he really can, tear it all to pieces. But Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So my question is, who wants the abundant life? Who wants God to do something special with you and use you to help pick up this place that's falling all to pieces all around us? Not just at Pitt Detention Center. You can go and see in Walmart. You can go in Food Lion. You can go into the school system. You can hear and see the stuff, and it just blows me away. But something we got to remember now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible also says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So if we're going to get in this battle that's here and it's hot and it's hard, look, then we're going to have God's help. Amen? We can't do it by ourselves. You know, we read this scripture here before. Paul talks about the armor. He talks about the power of the Spirit. Before he even introduces the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week and what Paul said here. But like I said, this is just your introduction. Amen? So let's look here. I want us to read this again. Now watch this. Watch this. This is some awesome, awesome stuff. Come on there, buddy. You're a little slow. Amen. Somebody asked what font was that. I said that was the Crayola font. Be not drunk with wine, words that will ruin your life, but instead let the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. So watch this. There it goes. And be not drunk with wine, New King James Version, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here, I love the message. It says, don't drink too much wine that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. Wow. That's some awesome, awesome stuff. Now watch this. How many's ever heard of this one? I bet many of y'all might have heard of this one little Huey, Dewey, and Louie. How many's heard of Dewey? Anybody ever heard of Dewey? Yeah. I love to tell this story. Didn't love it at the time. I went one time to pick up one of DC's friends who got a DWI. I go to the Pitt Detention Center and pick him up. And I said, why is he calling me? Come pick him up. So I went and picked him up and I carried him home. And then years later. I mean, this happened in the early 2000s. Now, years later, just a couple of years ago, I'm going back and I'm trying to go back through them and they don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. I'm in the back of Pitt Detention. I'm trying to go to the front of Pitt Detention. And they tell me, said, sir, we've got here that we detained you. I said, detained who? Said David C. Linton, 785 Possum Track Road. I said, you've never detained me. He said, yeah, we have. I said, what happened? Said, there was a guy in here with a DWI. You come in to get him. I said, you never detained me. I said, David C. Linton. They said, yeah, David C. Linton Jr. You look at him. They didn't arrest him. They just detained him. Found out he wasn't a joke with the man. They weren't in a joking mood. Amen. And so they called David C. Linton Sr. in to take care of the other guy. And D.C. Linton Jr. got out before I got there. Amen. I called D.C. and said, son, is there something you want to tell me? He said, no, sir, I'm fine. Nobody ever did anything to me. He said, but still, look, watch this. Driving under the influence. Now, that's a big thing around here now. Or driving while impaired, DWI, driving while impaired. But here's what I want you to say, what you think about something. Paul draws a contrast between living under the influence of alcohol and living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But let's take it a little deeper. We're going to say, well, I don't drink. So why is Paul even talking about this? If I don't drink, why is Paul even bringing this up? Well, see, you have to take it deeper. So as you take it deeper, you're going to see here, watch this. He's talking about instead of being full of wine or life's intoxicating influences. Listen, life's intoxicating influences. You may have never put a drop to your mouth. You may have never drunk a drop in your life, but you still can be full of life's intoxicating influences. So instead of being full of life's intoxicating influences, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit or with God's heavenly influences. Amen? Let me just take a little bit deeper here. And watch this. Again, when you get to Ephesians chapter 5, you got to stop. Oh, we want to go into Ephesians chapter 6. We want to talk about the armor. No, stop. Yield. Slow down. God's trying to tell us something. The contrast between being under the influence of wine or the world and being filled with the Spirit or not of this world. See, here's what he says. He says, under the influence of wine leads to excess. There's two words there for excess. Number one is debauchery. Debauchery means seduction from duty. Also, dissipation, which means a wasting by misuse. What he's saying is there's a very strong, very highly potential inside of us. And if we allow the world's influences to get to us, if we get drunken on their influence, then what God has given us, we're going to use for something else. We're either going to misuse it or we're not going to use it at all. But anyway about it, it's not going to be what God wants us to do with what he's given us. Amen? So it's so important. You can't, listen, living under the wrong influence, life will be wasted. Matter of fact, we won't fulfill our responsibilities. Let me ask you a question. Just ask you a question. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to think about it. Somebody else. I just want you only. Think about yourself only. Nobody else, just yourself. Don't you even look around at anybody else. How many this week, without raising your hand, just thinking, how many this week has had the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody? Don't raise your hand. Maybe that blessing was a word you could say to them. Maybe that blessing was something you could actually do for them. Maybe that blessing was just a smile. Maybe that blessing was a kind remark. Maybe that blessing was you reached down and picked up something that they dropped because their hands were full. Maybe this person was at work. Maybe there was multiple people at work. Or maybe it was somebody in your family. Maybe it was somebody in church. But you had the opportunity to do it this week, but you didn't. That's the question. You didn't. Now the question I got is, have you thought about why you didn't? Sometimes I find myself and say, Lord, I'm really kind of busy, Lord. If you don't mind, I really need to get going. And it seems like every time I'm really getting busy and got to get going, that's when somebody will come up and really, really need me. The other night I was going to Walmart, my shoulder, I won't go into it, but my shoulder's really, really damaged. And so and I got a pinched rotator cuff, and it's hurting really bad. And I was going to Walmart to get some stuff because I'd already been shot with cortisone, and it weren't doing a whole lot of good. And so I'm going to Walmart, and it's 9:15. I'm going to get the pain stuff, going to get stuff to put on it, stuff to take. And at 11 o'clock, I'm leaving Walmart. I went to get pain stuff. My arm's hurting so bad I had my hand like this and I was holding my arm because it was hurting so bad. But every time I went around the corner, somebody stopped me and said, Preacher, can you talk to me for a minute? I need some help with my family. I need some help with my own life. I need some help. Can you please talk to me? And so I ministered. I don't mean I was just running my mouth. I was ministering to people from 9:15 to 11 o'clock. And I thought about the thing. I said, Lord, did you remember that I came in here to get something for my arm? Lord, do you remember that that thing was hurting really bad and still is hurting really, really bad? You know, but again, people kept coming up, and I wouldn't push them away. I didn't say I got to go. We would talk to them, and I just keep on talking and praying with people and answering their questions about the Word and answering their questions about life. And it just kind of, I thought about that thing. You know, a lot of times God will put things in your path when you're going to have to overcome something to minister to somebody else. It's not going to be handed to you. You got to overcome something to minister to that person. And that's when God's watching. Are you going to take that opportunity to help somebody, even though it's going to require you a little bit of effort to get over the fence so you can help them? And so again, God is watching us. Every day, God gives us a chance to work for him, gives us a chance to minister to people. You say, well, I don't have a pulpit. Your pulpit could be your workstation. Your pulpit could be the checkout line, the food line. Your pulpit could be your shopping cart. Your pulpit could be as you're walking up a school and you see a kid on the side of the road and you stop and you help and pick up what they're doing and talk to them. So again, divine, under a divine influence. By contrast, the believer lives a spirit-filled life and will be characterized by fulfilling their responsibility to God. Remember, us here, this is awesome. I love church. It's a wonderful place. But this is a filling station. If this is the only place you're ministering to God and ministering for God, then there's a problem. You're falling short. You've got to take this outside the walls. This is where it's got to go. It's got to go outside. You come in here to get filled up. You come in here to learn. You come in here to get strategies. You come in here to figure out where you went wrong last week and get it back right this week. And then next week you can go out and do it all over again. It's important that when we leave this place, that we don't just sit on it. We get out and we do something. Matter of fact, it'd really be cool if everybody won at least one. If everybody won one, do you know our church would double just like that? If everybody won one, well, preacher, you can win 10 and they can win 15. No, everybody win one. You know, if I ask you, could you see 20 souls won this year? You might say no. The guys in the prison ministry and the ladies in the prison ministry, of course they'll say yes. And people in the nursing home ministries, of course they'll say yes. I remember one time I was pastoring in Benson, and there was a nursing home ministry in Dunn. And it was an old four-story hospital. It had become a four-story nursing home. And they asked me, said, can you do us a favor? I said, what? They said, can you give us a revival? And I said, okay, if that's what you want. But I thought to myself, I said, I'm coming to a nursing home to give a revival. And I thought about that thing, and Lord just said, don't worry about it, just do it. So I talked to the staff, and they said, yeah, you can do it. And they gave us a little waiting room and said, you can go in this waiting room here on the third floor and have your revival. And we did it from like Wednesday night to Friday night. I can't remember, Monday to Wednesday or Wednesday to Friday. And it amazed me that they were actually pushing people in their wheelchairs and pushing people in beds to come to that revival. And in 3 nights, we had 20 souls saved in a nursing home. It was amazing. Matter of fact, I really kind of enjoyed it. You know, right to start with, I was kind of wondering how this was going to be. But after we got going, I said, man, this is awesome. And the people were shouting and having a good time. So now watch this. Watch now. Now you can put your limits on God, or you can let God take the limits off you. Which one do you want? Oh, I love that. You can put the limits on God, or you can let God take the limits off you. Which one do you want? How do you want to live? I don't want to live putting limits on God. I want to live letting God take the limits off of me. Amen? Doing it God's way. So here we go. Look, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Look. Here's the big controversy in this day and time. When I'm in Emmaus, Emmaus has people from all denominations. They have Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals. They have some that from all kinds of denominations, all kinds of backgrounds, and that's okay. And it seems like every time we get up, there'll be the pastors will get up and they'll say, ask the pastor. And normally what they'll do is that they'll go up and give us some questions and we'll answer the questions. And usually there's me, and there's a Methodist, and there's a Baptist, and maybe another Methodist. And so there we are, or another Baptist, and we'll sit up there. And whoever's in charge will start looking at the questions and start passing them out. Every time they get to one about the Spirit, they say, here's David. Blah, 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 here's David. Blah, 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 here's David. Well, last time, normally we have about 5-6 questions. Last time, we had such a big crowd, the biggest crowd we'd had in quite a while. They told us as we were going to lunch, said, oh, we'll get you the questions. So they come and gave us 5 questions. There was 5 of us, or maybe more questions. But we go to lunch, and I said, that's all we got is 5 questions, so they pass them out. Well, on the way back from lunch, they said, oh, we didn't give you all the questions. I can't remember. DC, do you remember how many questions we had, like 20 questions? I couldn't believe all the questions. And they gave them to us just like that. And so we come up, and they start passing them out. And I kid you not, when it got to the part about the Spirit, all my guys left. I was there by myself. I could have took offense to that. But instead I said, okay, Lord, now the non-believers are out of here. I'm playing about that. But I got up, and this is exactly what I was telling them. They said, if you're born of the Spirit, aren't you baptized in the Spirit? And here it goes. And again, you may disagree with me now, and that's fine. That's fine. God gives us the ability to agree to disagree. Being born of the Spirit dwells within you. The Bible tells us the new birth in John 3 and 5. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you are born again, the Spirit dwells within you. And what it does is it prepares you for heaven. Now watch this. For one Spirit, we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When you are born again, God's Spirit dwells within you. Now, that's one part. That gets you ready for heaven. But then, again, remember now, and if you don't agree, that's fine. But I've lived this long enough, I see this working all the time. And you can't help but see it. So now, watch this. If you're born of the Spirit dwells within you. But when you're baptized with the Spirit dwells on you. You say, does that make a first class and second class Christian? No. No, not at all. Once you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, we're all first class. Amen? We're all going to heaven. But there's a battle going on down here. And that's why he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until, look, he says in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, this is different. One prepares you for heaven. The other prepares you for earth. One prepares you for afterlife. One prepares you for this life because you got to fight the battle. And it says, to you be endued with power from on high. That word endued means literally to be clothed. It means to have a coat put upon you, just like Elijah's mantle. When Elijah went up into heaven and Elijah picked up the mantle, and as soon as he picked up the mantle, miracles began to happen, and he threw it on, symbolic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, clothed with power. The same way, the baptism, we are clothed with power from on high. So now, I said, God, if you're talking about the baptism of the Spirit here and talking about being filled with the Spirit, how is that like a drunk man? Well, here it is, quickly. I'm not going to keep you long. By the way, I want to tell you something. I did get a call. Hey, sister, I got a call the other day, Eagles Wings, said they would come here on the first Thursday of every month now. Were you involved in that one? Well, now we got double because now Eagles Wings is going to come here on the first Thursday of every month and distribute free food. Isn't that cool? Here, right here in Edward, in our parking lot. Isn't that awesome? God's moving. That's awesome. Now, if somebody ever wants to volunteer to help, come on and help. But they wanted a place to play, to distribute. I've been trying to get them, and they kept saying no, no, no. And then I said, okay, Lord, that's fine. But you know what? They called us and said, can we let this be a central distributing spot? So yes, come on, bring it on. So starting in October, you tell people starting in October on the first Thursday of every month, Eagles Wings is going to be out here distributing free food for a couple hours every morning. That's awesome. Every first Thursday. So, and we got other projects going on too. We got all kinds of stuff. We want to start an AA and an Al-Anon out here also. So there's a way we can get in the community to actually make a difference. Amen? So watch this. Drunk with wine, filled with the Spirit. Watch the difference. Now, when you're drunk with wine, there's a false boldness. Amen? I don't know if anybody's ever been drunk before, and I don't want to boast on being drunk, but when you get drunk, you kind of think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen? You know, you kind of just get this false boldness because you don't care anymore. You're not caring about what people think. The same way, so look, but when you're filled with the Spirit, there's a divine boldness. The Bible says in Acts 4:13-14, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing beside them, they could say nothing against it. So, what's this? A drunk man. Drunk on the world, too. He may have his foolishness of boldness, but we are bold as a lion. Amen? You know, again, I had some kind of guy kind of come up against me the other day at Pitt Detention Center. I said, dude, you better bring it on. I'm not here to play. I'm not here to do this. We're here to make sure that Jesus is glorified. Amen? And I really love the way Stephen did when he said, you ever been body slammed by a 70-year-old man? That was awesome. All right. Invincible. A drunk person, they're invincible. You know that a lot of times if there's a wreck and a drunk person has hit another person in a wreck, the person that isn't drunk usually gets hurt, and the person that is drunk a lot of times won't get hurt. You know why? Because they're numb. They're not even pushing themselves. They're not even trying to hold themselves. Amen? But they think they're invincible. But guess what? The Bible says in Mark 16, 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you know that you are invincible until you've done what God's called you to do? You are invincible. God's got his hand on you. God's got his power on you. You're not going anywhere until you do what God's got for you to do. The third thing, a drunk man will mutter. You're hearing mutter. You can't understand what they're saying. You can't understand a word, an absolute word they're saying. But you know what? They're just still muttering, thinking they got some kind of message for you. But look at this. I can see filled with the Spirit the same way, because watch this. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When there was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. Wow, that's amazing. That's some powerful stuff. And then finally, the difference. A drunk man will repel others. I don't know about you, but I really don't like kind of being around somebody that's intoxicated. You know, I'll help them out. I'll move them what they got to do. I'll help them all I can, but I don't want to hang out with them unless I'm trying to keep them safe from the hurting themselves. But you know what? When you're filled with the Spirit, you attract others. The Bible says in Acts 2:41, and that day, gladly, those that received his word were baptized, and the same day there was 3,000 souls added to the church. Can you imagine a revival where 3,000 souls are saved? Now we're going to talk about this. Here's where we're going to come in. Ready? Y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Get ready. This is where we're going to take off next week. Seek to be consciously filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a suggestion to consider. It's a command to obey. We are at war. We are at war. DC, y'all come on up here. We are at war. I told you this was introduction. We are at war. We were in the juvies the other night. And Patrick and I were back there in the juvies. And that guy, I bet that guy looked like he was about 10 years old, didn't he? Had to be about 10. He said he was 17. I honestly thought he was 10. And I got talking to him to start with, and of course then Patrick come up, and I reckon Patrick looked like his picture was on the book, and asked me, says, is that the guy that wrote this book? I said, sure, that's the guy that wrote the book. I said, I'm his delivery boy. Patrick said, you better stop that. But that young man said, I've been here 10 days. And I was handing him a Bible, and I was handing him some stuff to read, and he just was out of it. He said, is this the stuff that's going to my papers to get me out of here? I said, no, these are papers that'll help you get out of it. Yeah, but not out of here, but help you get out of the inside. Patrick went and talked to me and told Patrick, said, see, I've been here 10 days, and when you come in here, they give you a suit that's got pit detention on the back of it. See here? And my heart broke. There were some other guys that thought they were cool, and they were saying some obscene things. And all I could think about was I just left a place where the guy was 20 looking at 40 years and said he'd been there since he was 17. There's a war. It's a terrible war. It hurts my heart to see what's going on around us. It hurts my heart to see Satan getting such a grasp. Charlottesville yesterday. Some crazy mess at Charlottesville. The crazy mess with Korea. The crazy mess going on around us all the time. It's time for us, the church, to stand up, because we're the only ones that have the answer. We're the only ones that have what this world needs right now. Everybody to stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. God's called us in this last day to make a stand. God's called us to stand up bigger and stronger and bolder than ever. I don't want to play church. I don't want to be Mr. Religious Man. I want to see families put back together. I want to see God do something special with us, through us, and to us. We can be like Samson and lay our head in Delilah's lap and go to sleep. Be influenced by the world. Or we can stand and let God use us and give us an infilling, a power that is out of this world. It's more than a shout. If all it was a shout, it's power. Life-changing, life-giving, anointed power. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, I'm going to ask you something. We're small in here today, but that's okay. If you want to be part of that crowd that has that anointing, part of that crowd that refuses to play church, but wants God to do something special and use them in this battle, you're ready to step up to the plate. You're ready for God to use you. Nobody looking around, would you just put that hand up and say, I'm ready. I want God to use me. 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 Right now, Father, you see these antennas. They're up. People are wanting to be used all over this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to bring a fresh anointing upon us all. Lord, I may not even feel it right now, God, but it's not about feeling, it's about faith. I'm thanking you for a fresh anointing right now. A fresh anointing and a fresh appointing. Help us, God, to be ready for what's coming our way. In the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise your name. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for all that you do. Use us. Help us, God. Shake us. Shake us. And use us. In the name of Jesus. If you want to pray for anything, come on up. You want to pray for anything, come on. The altars are open. That makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Satan would rather have us caught up, arguing over something that don't even matter, instead of out making a difference. God, help us get out there and make a difference. Help us, God, to make a difference. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many has ever got caught up in an argument with somebody? And after you got over the argument, you thought, why did I even argue about that? Matter of fact, after you argued, you said, you know what? I just wasted a lot of positive energy on a negative thing that mattered nothing. I didn't win, lose, or draw. We both lost. When instead I could be taking that positive energy and make a difference in somebody's life. You know, I've got lately, I was watching some show on television, and it was talking about exotic vacations. And I heard them say, what's your budget for this exotic vacation? And they said, listen, for 1 week, $25,000. And they said, we found one a little out of your budget, $35,000. And we found one, $21,000. I looked over at Linda and said, wow, I'll take the $21,000. And then I thought about a thing. How many, listen, souls could you have touched with that $25,000 or $35,000? How many people could you have fed? How many souls could have been touched with that kind of money for a vacation? $35,000 for 1 week. Then they asked the guy, said, you're going to buy an island? The guy said, y'all want to buy an island? He says, what's your budget? He said, $1 million. They said, well, do you want to fix her up or do you want one already ready? I looked at Linda. I said, I can't even believe what I'm watching. I said, if I had $1 million, I can tell you, there'd be some schools around here be debt free. There'd be some churches around here be debt free. There'd be some people around here that didn't have anything that have something. They wouldn't have an island. Of course, everybody's each their own. But the older I get, and the more I see stuff out here, the more I say, God, let us make a difference. Let's make a difference. Let us make a difference. God, the older I get, two things. The older I get, the better I was. And the older I get, the closer I get to heaven. And I start thinking about these things. When I was 20, I was going to live forever. I'm 57 now. I'm not going to live forever. But I can do something that lives forever. How about it? So, again, God, fill me. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your enthusiasm. Fill me with your power, with your anointing. And God, let me make a difference in people's lives wherever I go. That's the deal. That's what God wants to hear us say. Amen. Come back Sunday. We're going to talk more about this. I'm actually going to get into the scripture. That was the introduction today. So we're going to the scripture next week. Everybody stand. Tuesday night, we're talking about communication. You ever had any problem communicating? Come on Tuesday night. Brother Brandon, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?